beyond the tithe. Thus far, we have covered if we are going to be the kind of person that God loves, and that is a cheerful giver, we have to have that as our ambition, as our drive, as our aim and target to give beyond the tithe. Too many of God's children and people are trying to reach the tithe or to give just the tithe. But we have pointed out the tithe is meant to be the floor where we begin in our giving and not the ceiling where we end in our giving. In the book of 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, we have discovered through the anointing and inspiration of the Holy Spirit using the Apostle Paul, and Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and he's addressing them about making a pledge or a vow a year earlier, and they had not fulfilled that vow or that pledge. Paul uses a church that had deep trouble, a church that was steep and deep in poverty. And Paul was bragging, as it were, or praising the Lord for this quality of people, the church of Macedonia. And he talked about how that, first of all, they had the kind of life that was a surrendered life. They gave themselves first, the scripture says. So they gave themselves first unto the Lord. What is it that the Lord wants? He wants us. They presented themselves and gave themselves first unto the Lord. Then it describes how they had the kind of heart that's called a sacrificial heart. The kind of heart that gives and goes beyond. It says that these people were hit with the great trial of affliction. In essence, it says that they had deep poverty. It's one thing to have poverty, it's another thing to have deep poverty. But these people were able to give not out of their surplus or their abundance, but out of their deep need. And the reason why they were able to do that, because first of all, they surrendered their life and they had a sacrificial heart. Whenever a people have a surrendered life and a heart that knows what it is to sacrifice unto God, then number two, we discover we're going to need some helps and hints. Because once you have purpose in your heart to be a giving person, you have charlatans out here. You have preachers who are gangsters. You have people who will pump, push, and pull you and move you on an emotional drive, not based upon your convictions, but based upon your emotions. You got preachers who can weep and cry. And every time that you hear them, it's all about their need or all about money. And if you don't do thus and so, then we're going under. I question that kind of ministry, whether it is a ministry of God or whether Ichabod is written over that work. Because whatever God calls us to do, remember, when he gives you vision, there's always provision. When God gives a vision to a man or woman of God, he always gives provision to the people of God to bring it, to bring that thing to pass. So therefore, we need some helps and hints. And we discovered what that is in terms of helps and hints. I need some wisdom from God because I am a given person. I want to give and I will not slack my giving. So I need some wisdom. I need helps and hints in knowing where am I to give God. We discovered that. Then I need some helps and hints in knowing how I am to give. You don't just give. It's a way you have to give that's acceptable to God. Then I need some helps and hints in knowing to whom I am to give. And so if I have a surrendered life, a sacrificial heart, I need helps and hints in knowing where, knowing how, and knowing to whom we are to give. The last thing I want to discuss, and that's what I want to share tonight. Since we need some helps and hints in knowing where, how, and who, we also need some hindrances removed. Look at your neighbor and say, that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Removing hindrances. So we need some hindrances removed. Now I want us to start our reading this evening for the sake of time in the 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Let us start with the 8th verse. Start with verse 8, and it reads, I speak not thy commandment. I'll tell you when to read, Deacon Jackson. I need everybody to read verses 8 through verse 16 with me. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. Verse 9. Come in, Deacon Jackson, with us. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have. For if No, verse 16. One more time, please. Verse 16.
And there is a God who is the same Savior in your heart as your youth.
Now, three hindrances we will discuss here tonight. Three things that I believe will hinder us from being the giver beyond the tithe. The first hindrance is dishonesty. I want you to write that down. Dishonesty will hinder you from being the kind of person that gives beyond the tithe. Dishonesty, the second thing is carnality. Carnality will hinder us from giving and being that kind of a giver. And then the third thing is infidelity. Infidelity. Let's talk about the first thing. The first thing I said is dishonesty. You see, what hinders people from giving beyond the tithe is dishonesty. That is lying and stealing and not willing to give what we already have. A person that would be hindered because of their dishonesty is a person that is, in essence, lying and stealing. They're not willing to give what they have according to how God has blessed them. Deacon Jackson, read for me verse 12.
For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not.
Now notice once again, read it once again, Deacon.
For if there be first a willing mind.
Stop. If there be first. Now I need you to see something. First, if there be first. What first? If you would look down at verse 5 and read that for me, Deacon.
Verse 5?
Yes, sir. Verse 5.
And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord.
Stop right there. They first gave their own self. Remember, that's a surrendered life. They first gave their own self. Now, notice this. The thing that hinders us from being the kind of person that give beyond the tithe is dishonesty. Meaning we find ourselves lying and stealing, not willing to give what we already have. What you just read there, Deke, in the, the 12th verse. For if there be first a willing mind, and look at me, a willing mind. Meaning, first of all, we must be willing to give what we already have. Now, how is it that, or how come the church of Corinth had not fulfilled their vow or their pledge that they made a year ago? They made this pledge and vow a year ago, but they had not fulfilled it. The question is really why. And I believe if we can discover why they did not fulfill their pledge and their vow, we can discover how we ought to fulfill our pledge and vows. You know, people oftentimes make a pledge or make a vow, and there's a purpose for it, but we need to discover how to fulfill that pledge and that vow. I believe the reason why the church at Corinth had not fulfilled their pledge and vow was because they had not paid on it. See, you got to pay on the pledge and the vow that you make. This is a revelation, and this is the way it flows, and this is the way it goes. If you first of all give what you have, then God gives you what you don't have. Now you follow this. This is how you fulfill your vow and your pledge. And we'll see why we make vows and pledges. First of all, you must give what you have. It says in verse 12. Read it once again, Deacon.
For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath.
It is accepted according to that a man has. You must give what you have, then God gives you what you don't have. And God always gives you more than what you need to have. Let me say it one more time because it's going to just float right by somebody. You got to, first of all, give what you have. God gives you what you don't have. See, many of us, we be waiting for God to give us so we can fulfill the pledge, but we don't, first of all, give what we have. When you start paying on your vow and paying on your pledge, giving what you have, then God begins to give you what you don't have. And when God give you what you don't have, he always give you more than what you need to have so that you at the end will have more than what you had.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I don't think you heard me.
All right.
See, you start off with a little bit. You don't have it all. You just don't have it all. When you make your pledge, you make a vow, you don't have it all. But when you give what you have, God give you what you don't have. But when he give you what you don't have, he always give you more than what you need to have so that at the end you'll have more than what you had. You're the one that's coming out on the blessed end of this whole thing. You're the one that's going to be blessed in the whole process. So therefore, the first thing we want to see is how that we can be dishonest in terms of lying and stealing and not willing to give what we have according to how God has prospered and blessed us. Turn in your Bible. Hold your finger there, but turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians the 16th chapter. Once you've found your place, shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
A little louder if you're there.
Hallelujah.
1 Corinthians chapter 16 and the first verse. Deacon, if you would read that, please.
Now concerning the collection. For the saints.
For the saints.
As I have given order to the churches.
Order. It's an order. It's an order. This is an order. And this, listen, when I say it's an order, it's not only an order that he's given, but it's the order of how you do it. This is an order. Continue on, Deacon.
To the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him.
Thank you. Stop right there. As God has prospered him. As God has prospered him, let him lay that aside as God has prospered him. See, the dishonesty comes in when we begin to say, I don't have it, and God has already prospered us. You got to start with what God has given you. You know, I told you the story before about the farmer that the preacher came and asked him, said, if you had a 100 cows, would you give them to God? He says, absolutely. I love God with all of my heart, mind, soul, and strength. I would give God a 100 cows. That's nothing at all for me to give God 100 cows. He says, okay. How about if you had 50 horses? Would you give the 50 horses to God? Absolutely. And there would be no problem whatsoever to give God those 50 horses. Old preacher looked over there and saw those two slimy, filthy pigs. And said, suppose you had two filthy, slimy pigs. Would you give them to God? Old farmer looked over there and counted his pigs. One, two. He said, preacher, you know that's not fair. You see, I got those two pigs. You see, we are quick to give what we... And all the time what God is saying, how about giving me starting off with what you do have? See, we're ready to say, I'll give you 100 cows, 50 horses, but not those two slimy pigs. You know I got that. See, God always hit us with what we have. The scripture says, first of all, there must be first a willingness in our minds. Amen. There's got to be a willingness in our mind. And if we are willing to do it, then it's already accepted. Then God says, go ahead and do it. So the first thing that we must come to understand, if we're going to be a person that give beyond the tithe, we got to remove the hindrance of dishonesty. When I say dishonesty, lying and stealing, I think about Ananias and Sapphira. Oh, we just had enough time to go over to Acts, the 5th chapter. You'll find there was a man by the name of Ananias and his wife Sapphira. And this was really the first judgment on the early church. The Bible says that they begin to sell their property, their land, and they begin to lay it at the apostles' feet so that the apostles could make distribution of those goods. And there was a man by the name of Barnabas. They gave him that name. They said he's the son of consolation. He was a very benevolent man. And because he laid down his property, he had much property, he sold it, he gave it to the apostles so they can make distribution. There was a couple by the name of Ananias and Sapphira. When they saw the attention that Barnabas got, they went out there and they sold a part of their land. Now, I want you to understand, they had more land they could have sold. But they took a piece of property. They didn't do like Barnabas did, but they wanted the acclimates that Barnabas got. So they took a piece of land and they sold it. But when they brought it to the apostles, they said that we sold it for such and such amount, and we're giving the whole thing unto God. See, dishonesty, it starts with the aspect also of lying. Lying about what you got and what you don't have. Lying about what you're going to give and what you don't give. See, when we make a vow and when we make a pledge unto God, God is saying you got to start and pay on that. Now, with Ananias and Sapphira, what they did, they sold the land and they said, we sold it for this amount of money. And which they did not. They kept back part of the money. They were lying. And the Apostle Peter said, see, the Holy Ghost was operating strong in the early church. Apostle Peter said, now listen, you haven't lied unto man, but you lied unto the Holy Ghost. And he began to expose his sin of lying about his giving. And the Bible says the man dropped dead. His wife comes back from shopping after she'd been spending that other part of the money that she had. She came back in there and Peter said, hey, Miss Sapphira, come on over here. How much did y'all sell that land for? Because the Bible says she knew all about it and they privily or privately did this thing together. And so they had this story together. They were in agreement. She said the same thing her husband said and she dropped dead. You see, there is something about dishonesty in lying. We got to remove that particular thing if we're going to be the kind of person that gives beyond the tithe. See, we'll make a vow to give, but then, now listen, God is the one that's going to bring it in, but you got to start paying on it. You got to give what you have. Then God will give you what you don't have. How about Judas? You're talking about stealing? He was a thief. And the Bible says that Judas was stealing money out the bag and nobody knew it. That means it had to have a lot of money. Jesus had a lot of money in that bag in order for Judas to be stealing money out the bag, and no one was the wiser. And then it says that on one occasion, because a woman took an alabaster box, broke it over the master's head, poured it on him, Judas said, why didn't you sell this and we can give it to the poor? It wasn't because he was concerned about the poor, but Judas wanted more than what he was getting. It's amazing when a person starts to steal from God. When a person becomes a God robber with God, they don't stop with just that. You see, if a person will steal money from God, then they'll steal the glory if they could. And so therefore, Judas, as it were, the Bible says that he was stealing money out the bank. He wasn't concerned for the poor. I would tell you, and I say this with all honesty of heart, by the unction of the Holy Spirit, whenever there is someone and they begin to challenge, they begin to challenge you in regards to, why do you give all that? Why do your church give all that? We can give it to the poor. Mark it down. Somewhere in them, there's a Judas spirit. There's a Judas spirit. Jesus said, you'll always have the poor. And any church that's on the move and doing what God would have them to do, they're doing much more than what other people are tooting their horns saying they're doing. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? See, when you're on the move doing the things that God would have you to do, you don't have time because somebody has a need to stop every service and say, "Brother so-and-so have a need. Can we take up an offering?" No, go ahead and meet the need and go on about the Lord's business. But what hinders people from this kind of a spirit is the hindrance of dishonesty, lying, stealing, not willing to give, starting what they have based upon how God has prospered them. Second thing I want you to see in terms of the hindrance. Before we go to the second point, Deacon, go over to the book of Ecclesiastes. Let us go there first. I need to drive this point home in regards to paying or giving on your vow or your pledge. Now somebody would say, "Well, what's this thing about vowing and pledging? Should we vow? Should we not vow? Should we pledge? Should we not pledge?" Well, you see, we taught a message not long ago, I guess it's been about a year or so ago, about the storehouse blessing that's mine. See, God, first of all, God says, "Bring it into my house and then I'll put it in your house." Now, all I would ask you to do is examine yourself. See whether or not that you're really in the faith. Or see if the preacher's trying to get your money. Just examine yourself. Have you been putting God first? Have you been putting it in God's house first? And if you've been putting it in God's house first, if you have the right motive, if you have the right kind of heart, the right kind of motive, and you've been putting it in God's house first, and you're the worse for it, then Jesus lied. But if you've been putting it in your house first, you would find out that you've been putting your money in a bag with holes in it. You seem to never really have enough. Just as soon as you get, seem like you're getting ahead, something pulls you back. Because you see, what you have just demonstrated is that your money is not God's money, it's your money. And so therefore, if you would simply examine the intent of your giving, have I been putting God first? If you start to put God first, and somebody say, "Well, I tried it," that's the problem. You see, it'll never work if you're simply trying it. And you got too many preachers that cannot preach this kind of a message because they have a problem with giving themselves. They have a problem with giving. They had a problem before there was a preacher giving. See, you don't start off once you're in the pulpit with a problem about giving. You start out in the pews. Are you listening to me? See, Judas already was a thief and a robber. Jesus gave him an opportunity to try to get his life right, but he never would. And it shows you so that at the end of the testimony of Judas' life, when Jesus was washing them all, he washed Judas' feet, and they said, "Well, listen, why are you doing this?" He says, "Because all of you are not clean." Are you following what I'm saying to you? Now, in the book of Ecclesiastes, Deacon Jackson, if you would, chapter 5 in the first verse, read that for me.
"Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God."
Continue
and
on.
be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven and thou upon earth, therefore let thy words be few. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by the multitude of words. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it."
Stop right there. Out of all that he's saying, he's moving us to understanding. When you make a vow unto God, what does he say? Defer not to pay it. What does that mean? It means don't be dilatory. Don't delay in giving God what you say.
Amen.
Don't delay it. You say, "Well, I make a vow of $100, and all you have is $25 at the time." Then when you give that $25, you say, "Okay, I gave $25, now I need $75. Now listen, this is how the storehouse blessing goes. You say, "Okay, I gave $25, I need $75 more dollars." That week, God brings in 10, maybe 15 more dollars extra. Then what you do, you don't defer, you pay it.
Mm-hmm.
Start Amen. Paying on it. So God gave you $15 that week. The next week, God give you $10. What do you do? See, most of us, we're waiting for the $75. God is giving you to pay on your vow.
Amen.
So the next week, you get $10. That's $25 altogether that you've already added on to the $25 that you have. Now all you owe is $50. Mm-hmm. God comes through the next week and give you another $25. that you normally would not have. What do? Don't defer. Pay on your vow.
Amen.
Then God give you another 25. What do? Don't defer. Don't hold back. Don't hesitate. Don't use it for something other than what you said you was going to use it for. Pay on your vow. Now, the beautiful thing is this. I told you, when you give what you had, God always give you more than what you need to have, so that at the end you'll have more than what you had. Now, once you paid on your vow, you don't stop and say, "Woo, hallelujah, I paid on my vow, that's it." No, God wants you to continue to believe Him, but this time it doesn't go in God's house, it goes in your house.
Yeah.
So if God brought the $15 in the first week, God brought the $10 in the second week, God brought the $25 in the third week, before that month is out, you have received the fullness of your pledge. Now, if God can do that in one month, then what do you think that God would do in the second month? Don't you stop believing God. Now God give you another $15. What do? You put it in your account. Now God give you another $10. What do? Put it in your account. Now God give you another $50. What do? Put it in your account. Now God give you another $100. What do? Put it in your account. I told you before, God wants you to take your wife out to someplace other than McDonald's. God wants you to go on a vacation once a year. Ecclesiastics talk about it. If a man works, should not he enjoy his work? Should not he enjoy? Shouldn't he be able to go somewhere other than temple? Some of you say, "I'm going on vacation." Where are you going? I mean, you only got about $50. Where can that $50 take you? If something broke down in your house, if something broke down with your automobile, you got to wait till the next paycheck to get it fixed. That's not God. God is saying, "I'm trying to put something in your house, but I got to raise up a project or a person or something to stir up your faith, to move you from faith to faith." But you never go back, because He said, "My soul have no pleasure in the soul that draw back unto perdition."
Amen.
This is how it goes. So as you're paying on your vow, after you pay on your vow, God don't want you to stop. Now God wants you to put that away. Say that. So that if an opportunity come, and you may see a deal that you need some money right now. Are you hearing what I'm saying? People, here's a guy that he's getting ready to go somewhere. He says, "Listen, I got a car, and this car is worth $3,000. But man, listen, how much do you got?" "I got 600. 600. I know you can give me more than this. 600. You'll be surprised. People are selling all kinds of stuff that need money right on the spot. I'm not talking about stolen goods. I'm not talking about somebody that's got some hot items. I'm talking about if you got some money right now, money talks and everything else walks. By the time that person has to go to the bank and get the thing approved, friend, I got that car and I'm on my way." Are you listening to me?
Amen.
Are you listening to me?
Amen.
I was riding down the street and I saw an automobile, and the Spirit of God said, "That car belongs to somebody. Buy it. It belongs to somebody in the church. Buy the car. Put up a sale sign up. Don't make the money off of the people. God says buy it. Buy it. If you don't have the money, how can you do it?" That's the reason why people oftentimes are so upset with the Jews, because the Jews, they live in this principle. And we say, the Jews, and God forgive this saying, the Jews, they believe in Jewing you down. Have you ever heard that?
Yeah.
The Jews never Jewed anybody down. The Jews catch you when you're down. As a matter of fact, I've never seen a Jew go looking for anyone. People go looking to the Jews.
Amen.
Because they have the money. Why? Because of this principle that I'm talking about. The second thing about a hindrance to being the kind of giver beyond the tithe, we said, is what? Carnality. Turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Carnality. Carnality. The reason why the children, the church at Corinth, they weren't like the church of Macedonia giving beyond the tithe, because of dishonesty. And because of carnality. God says, "Give what you have, and I'll give you what you don't have, and I always give you more than what you need to have, so that at the end you'll have more than what you had." But then the second thing is carnality. In the book of 1 Corinthians, if you are there, say, I'm there. Look at chapter 3. And the first verse, read that for me, Deacon Jackson. Verses 1 through 3.
And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal.
Underline it. You are yet carnal. Continue on.
For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?
Now listen to this. Excuse me, sir. He says, you are carnal, and then he goes down and begin to classify certain things that carnal people have in their life. And one of the things is division. Division, envy. Now, when I talk about carnality, and the reason why that this church, they weren't going beyond the tithe, because they had carnality in their life. They were murmuring, they were complaining, they had divisions. Do you realize a people that's murmuring and complaining, a people that's whining and crying, a people of division, they're not a people that's going to give beyond the tithe. Man. They're murmuring about how much they're giving now. They're complaining about, I'm giving too much now. They're the kind of people that complain about, well, the preacher's getting it all. You see, the reason why this church could not give beyond the tithe was because of the hindrance of dishonesty, and I believe the hindrance of carnality. Not only that, if you would turn to chapter 5. That's chapter 3. Look at chapter 5. This is the Corinthian that Paul is talking to. Chapter 5, look at the first verse. Read that for me, Deacon Jackson.
The first verse?
Yes, sir.
It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you.
Stop right there. Thank you. Somebody got a hold of this thing. You see, we're talking about a church of carnality. They're not thinking about giving and blessing God. We're talking about people that's committing fornication. We're talking about people that's murmuring, complaining, and have divisions among them. Now, why are there divisions among them? Because they're committing fornication. Continue on.
And such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles.
Stop right there. What is he saying? He's saying the kind of stuff that they're doing in the Corinthian church. Listen, they weren't even doing that when they were in the world. Sinners don't even commit. I mean, in essence, it's not only a blasphemy against God, but it's really a shame for a sinner to do what they were doing. And we're talking about people that's trying to get beyond the tide. If there's carnality in our life, we're not thinking about giving unto God. He says, once again, Deacon Jackson, what does it say?
Back at the beginning.
Back at the beginning.
It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication is not so much as named among the Gentiles.
Stop right there one more time. It's commonly, meaning this is not a haphazard thing that they were doing. Amen. These folks were just living in open rebellion. Commonly. Have you ever heard of common law marriage? Mm-hmm. What do you think we're talking about tonight, huh? Have you ever heard of common law marriage?
Amen.
Folks that can shack up and can come to church, lift up their hands and praise the Lord. And all the time, he said they're committing fornication. And they're saying, no, but we're married in the spirit realm. I'm getting ready to leave.
Amen.
I'm talking about, friend, listen here. You don't have those kind of people that's giving. You find me a fornicator. You find me somebody that's commonly involved in fornication. You find me somebody that's hooked up in that type of carnality. And I guarantee you, if you track their record of giving, they don't give anything. Because they're dominated by their flesh. And anyone that enters any kind of sexual relationship outside of their marriage partner, if I had enough time, I can show you they have involved themselves with a demon. They have made a sacrifice with the devil. Whenever someone commit fornication, whenever someone commit adultery, whenever someone enters into an act of homosexuality, lesbianism, incest, bestiality, they have gotten in contact with the devil.
Amen. Yes.
Now, we don't have a problem understanding somebody that involves themselves with bestiality, that they are involved in a demon or an evil spirit, but all of it is caused the spirit of perversion.
Amen. Amen.
Now, if you have ever gotten yourself involved in that and you haven't been cleansed from that, you go ahead and confess that and let the Holy Spirit cleanse you from the sin of fornication and adultery. And we should not be commonly practicing these carnalities. Continue on right where you are, sir.
That one should have his father's wife.
Stop right there. Here we have incest in the church. That one should have his father's wife. I wonder how many of God's children practice spiritual incest. At least more physical incest.
My.
I'm telling you, when there's a church that's not given, you have these type of carnalities in that church. Continue on, my brother.
And ye are puffed up.
You are prideful. Prideful. Puffed up. Prideful. Can't tell you anything. I don't know who that preacher think he is anyway. I ain't got to listen to him. You're prideful. You're puffed up because of carnality. Continue on.
And have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you.
Stop right there. He that has done this thing might be taken away from among you. What am I saying? A person that is caught up in carnality is not a person that's going to give beyond the tithe. Go in your Bible, if you would, Deacon Jackson, now to the book of, I got 600. I know you can give me more than this. 600. You'll be surprised. People are selling all kinds of stuff that need money right on the spot. I'm not talking about stolen goods. I'm not talking about somebody that's got some hot items. I'm talking about if you got some money right now, money talks and everything else walks. By the time that person has to go to the bank and get the thing approved, friend, I got that car and I'm on my way.
Amen.
Are you listening to me?
Amen.
Are you listening to me?
Amen.
I was riding down the street and I saw an automobile and the Spirit of God said, that car belongs to somebody, buy it. It belongs to somebody in the church, buy the car, put up a sale sign up. Don't make the money off of the people. God says, buy it. Buy it. If you don't have the money, how can you do it? That's the reason why people oftentimes are so upset with the Jews, because the Jews, they live in this principle. And we say, the Jews, and God forgive this saying, the Jews, they believe in Jewing you down. Have you ever heard that?
Yeah.
The Jews never Jewed anybody down. The Jews catch you when you're down. As a matter of fact, I've never seen a Jew go looking for anyone. People go looking to the Jews.
Amen.
Because they have the money. Why? Because of this principle that I'm talking about. The second thing about a hindrance to being the kind of giver beyond the tithe, we said, is what? Carnality. Turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Carnality. Carnality. The reason why the children... the church at Corinth, they weren't like the church of Macedonia, given beyond the tithe, because of dishonesty and because of carnality. God says, give what you have, and I'll give you what you don't have, and I always give you more than what you need to have, so that at the end you'll have more than what you had. But then the second thing is carnality. In the book of 1 Corinthians, if you are there, say, I'm there.
I'm there.
Look at chapter 3. And the first verse, read that for me, Deacon Jackson, verses 1 through 3.
And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal.
Underline it. You are yet carnal. Continue on.
For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?
Now listen to this. Excuse me, sir. He says, you are carnal. And then he goes down and begin to classify certain things that carnal people have in their life. And one of the things is division. Division, envy. Now, When I talk about carnality, and the reason why that this church, they weren't going beyond the tithe, because they had carnality in their life. They were murmuring, they were complaining, they had divisions. Do you realize a people that's murmuring and complaining, a people that's whining and crying, a people of division, they're not a people that's going to give beyond the tithe.
Man.
They're murmuring about how much they're giving now. They're complaining about, I'm giving too much now. They're the kind of people that complain about, well, the preacher's getting it all. You see, the reason why this church could not give beyond the tithe was because of the hindrance of dishonesty, and I believe the hindrance of carnality. Not only that, if you would turn to chapter 5. That's chapter 3. Look at chapter 5. This is the Corinthian that Paul is talking to. Chapter 5, look at the first verse. Read that for me, Deacon Jackson.
The first verse?
Yes, sir.
It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you.
Stop right there. Thank you. Somebody got a hold of this thing. You see, we're talking about a church of carnality. They're not thinking about giving and blessing God. We're talking about people that's committing fornication. We're talking about people that's murmuring, complaining, and have divisions among them. Now, why are there divisions among them? Because they're committing fornication. Continue on.
And such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles.
Stop right there. What is he saying? He's saying the kind of stuff that they're doing in the Corinthian church. Listen, they weren't even doing that when they were in the world. Sinners don't even commit. I mean, in essence, it's not only a blasphemy against God, but it's really a shame for a sinner to do what they were doing. And we're talking about people that's trying to get beyond the tide. If there's carnality in our life, we're not thinking about giving unto God. He says, once again, Deacon Jackson, what does it say?
Back at the beginning.
Back at the beginning.
It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication is not so much as named among the Gentiles.
Stop right there one more time. It's commonly, meaning this is not a haphazard thing that they were doing. Amen. These folks were just living in open rebellion. Commonly. Have you ever heard of common law marriage?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think we're talking about tonight, huh? Have you ever heard of common law marriage?
Amen.
Folks that can shack up and can come to church, lift up their hands and praise the Lord. And all the time, he said they're committing fornication. And they're saying, no, but we're married in the spirit realm. I'm getting ready to leave.
Amen.
I'm talking about, friend, listen here. You don't have those kind of people that's giving. You find me a fornicator. You find me somebody that's commonly involved in fornication. You find me somebody that's hooked up in that type of carnality. And I guarantee you, if you track their record of giving, they don't give anything. Because they're dominated by their flesh. And anyone that enters any kind of sexual relationship outside of their marriage partner, if I had enough time, I can show you they have involved themselves with a demon. They have made a sacrifice with the devil. Whenever someone commit fornication, whenever someone commit adultery, whenever someone enters into an act of homosexuality, lesbianism, incest, bestiality, they have gotten in contact with the devil.
Amen. Yes.
Now, we don't have a problem understanding somebody that involves themselves with bestiality, that they are involved in a demon or an evil spirit. But all of it is caused the spirit of perversion.
Amen.
Now, if you have ever gotten yourself involved in that and you haven't been cleansed from that, you go ahead and confess that and let the Holy Spirit cleanse you from the sin of fornication and adultery. And we should not be commonly practicing these carnalities. Continue on right where you are, sir.
That one should have his father's wife.
Stop right there. Here we have incest in the church. That one should have his father's wife. I wonder how many of God's children practice spiritual incest. At least more physical incest.
My.
I'm telling you, when there's a church that's not given, you have these type of carnalities in that church. Continue on, my brother.
And ye are puffed up.
You are prideful, puffed up, prideful, can't tell you anything. I don't know who that preacher think he is anyway. I ain't got to listen to him. You're prideful, you're puffed up because of carnality. Continue on.
And have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you.
Stop right there. He that has done this thing might be taken away from among you. What am I saying? A person that is caught up in carnality is not a person that's going to give beyond the tithe. Go in your Bible, if you would, Deacon Jackson, now to the book of 1 Corinthians 11 chapter. Same church. Are you with me tonight?
Amen.
First Corinthians, the 11th chapter. If you're there, say hallelujah, I'm there.
Hallelujah,
I'm there. Now, Deacon Jackson, where I want you to read from, 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, and look at the 21st verse. Read that for me, please.
For in eating, everyone taketh before, other than his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken.
Now listen to what he's saying. Here they come to the house of God to partake of the Lord's Supper. One is hungry, meaning, you know, back then they gave more than what we give, crackers. Yeah. I mean, the Lord's Supper, they had some bread there. Amen. And here, folks, where they weren't taking the Lord's Supper in terms of God, we recognize these people came to the Lord's Supper glutton. Listen, they had a glutton spirit upon them. Their God was their belly. And not only that, it says they were drunken. If I had more time just tonight, they were drunken. I mean, they came to the Lord's Supper and they would drink wine. Yeah. And these people wouldn't just take a sip. These people got drunk at the Lord's table. Forget about the Lord. Remember when the Bible says that Israel, when Moses went up to the mount to receive the commandments and the pattern of the tabernacle, and the Bible says that when the people made a sacrifice to the golden calf, they worshiped and then they rose up and they played. They got drunk. They had incest one with another. Drunken at the Lord's table. What am I trying to say? This church was filled with carnality. They were murmuring, complaining. They had divisions among them. It was a church, if you would, that had gotten involved with incest and fornication. And now we find it's a church that came to the Lord's Supper drunk. Now, I can interpret that to say people come to God's house drunk off the things of the world. In other words, we become intoxicated with the worldliness that we can't even reverence God. We don't even hear God. Go, if you would, to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. The things that hinder us from giving beyond the tithe, some hindrances that need to be removed. Number one is the hindrance of dishonesty. Number two is the hindrance of what? Carnality. I want you to see this carnality here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And look at the 27th verse. Read that for me, Deacon Jackson. 27.
If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret.
Now, back it up to verse 26. I want you to see this.
How is it then, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you hath a psalm?
Have a song. Everybody wants to sing. Go ahead.
Hath a doctrine.
Everybody wants to share a doctrine. Go ahead.
Hath a tongue.
Have a tongue. Everybody has a tongue. They want to give a message in tongue.
Has a revelation.
Everybody has a revelation. They want to preach their revelation.
Has an interpretation.
Everybody has an interpretation of what the pastor is preaching or saying or what the message in tongue was about.
Let all things be done unto edifying.
Let all things be done unto edifying. What am I saying? This church was filled with carnality. They had an abusive church because they had a misuse of God's spiritual gifts. Ooh, if I had enough time, I can talk about how that we abuse and misuse the spiritual gifts that God have given unto us. Whether it's the elders, whether it is the singers, or whatever have we. You'd be surprised how we can abuse a spiritual gift. People can get up and walk out and start walking and going to the restroom when the man of God is preaching the word of the living God. How can we do that? It's called abuse of use for the spiritual gifts of God. The last thing I want you to see tonight, if you would, we said the last thing that hinders us from being a giver beyond the tithe is what? Infidelity. If you would, turn back over in your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter. In the 8th chapter, we're talking about infidelity. What is infidelity? Infidelity is unfaithfulness, disloyalty. Now, you follow me closely because we're closing this segment out of this teaching. Here we have the Corinthian church. They was hindered from being the kind of church that Paul was commending. A church that would give beyond the tithe. What was hindering them? Dishonesty. What was hindering them? Pardon me? Carnality. What is hindering them?
Infidelity.
This is important. Out of all that I said, infidelity. You say, how can we be practice infidelity with God? Infidelity. Now you pay close attention to this. This church that Paul was commending, the church of Macedonia, he said that they were giving out of their poverty. And he's going to point out that that proved the sincerity of their love. Look at verse 8. Read that aloud.
I speak not by commandments,
but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. Now, go to the 24th verse of the same chapter and read that aloud.
Wherefore show ye to them and before the churches the proof of your love and of your boasting on your behalf.
Now, look my way. What is Paul saying? I believe Paul is pointing out something that's key in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ today, and that is infidelity. He says you can prove the sincerity of your love. How? By giving out of your poverty or of your need. It proves the sincerity of your love. You'd be surprised how many husbands and wives fall apart when they don't have enough. When they don't have enough. See, when they got together, both of them said, I got something, you got something, let's put that something together, and we got a whole lot. And then when something hits, the thrill is gone. In their deep poverty, if a woman marries a person for security, once your job goes, sir, there goes your wife. Now, I believe that every man ought to have in his heart to take care of his family, to be responsible for his family. But how many, and oh my God, maybe I shouldn't even say this because I need much balance with it. I need much balance with it, but let me say it just the same, and perhaps it will hit on the right note. And that is simply this. Many a wives, they married a man when he was in the military. And even though he said, honey, you know, I'm telling you, my vision is I can do so much. And he's motivated. But his wife said, honey, don't you get out of that service. Well, she's not all the time. You'd be, oh my God, if I just had enough time. Time would fail to tell. And I've already shared within this series already that how that you have, the Bible says that you have some young women, they go from house to house in everybody else's business because in their mind, what a husband is to them is not security that I'll never leave you nor forsake you, but I'll always be with you to the end. That's true, real security. But what security is to some people is the money that you bring in, honey. Some women, they don't care if your life is on the line. Don't you let that job go. And the way in which we're living, today, I mean, you know, I can see you perhaps being a police officer here in Coppers Cove, Killeen, Austin, somewhere close by. But up in New York, I mean, can you imagine? Friend, listen, if a woman is encouraging me, be on the police force in New York, I think there's something up with that. The church, we had to unload some tables. On yesterday, we had to unload some tables, some of the men yesterday, and oh, my brother-in-law, Tim, he come walking out, he rolled up his sleeve. I said, Tim, now Tim is just a little over 60. I said, Tim, what do you think you're going to do rolling up your sleeve? He said, I come down here to work. And then I looked at him, I said, did Linda send you? If Linda sent him, I was going to send him back. Something's up, Tim. But he said, no, my sister, she didn't send him. So I said, okay, you can come on and help us lift some of this stuff. What am I trying to say? I'm simply saying unto you, there are some people that they don't give out of their deep need. See, a mother that has a love for her child, I don't care what it is, she's going to get some food on that table for that child. And she can do it in an honest way too. But as the old song goes, I'm not too proud to beg. Usually when a person begs, if they are the right spirit, they don't beg for themselves, but they beg for, I got to get some food for my kids. You see, there's no separation in that kind of a giving. Now, I want you to see something else here. And as we close, think about this with me. Look at the chapter 8, but look at the 14th verse. Read that for me, Deacon Jackson.
But by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. As it is written, he that had gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no like.
Thank you. Just stop right there. What am I getting to? If they gave out of their need, and God said through Apostle Paul, it proved the sincerity of the love. Then when we have a lack of giving in our abundance, it proves the insincerity of your love. What am I trying to say? I find personally with myself, God blesses me. God pour his blessings upon me. And every now and then, God challenges me to give, whether it's the giving to the building, giving to people. God challenges me to give. And if I have this kind of dialogue with God, well, God, you know, I gave last week. Oh, God, you know, I don't have no problem with giving. Now, I gave so-and-so, and I gave so-and-so. No, you didn't have a problem with giving. You got one now. See, when I told you to give the so-and-so a week ago, 2 weeks ago, a month ago, you didn't say anything. You was rejoicing about it. But now I'm asking you 2 months down the road to give to someone else. And it's not because of a lack of what I have to give. You'd be surprised how that all of a sudden the love for God moves from the love for God to the love for money. Or what money can buy. And so God is always challenging us to make sure that we're not an infidel or that we're in infidelity. He wants to make sure that we have not lost or left our first love. If God tell me to give something today, and if I can give it today, but next week God tell me to give something and I have a struggle with it, I'm moving, as it were, from my love for God to infidelity. Amen. God is trying to awaken my conscience to say something's moving, something's shifting here. Because usually when that happens, it's not that I don't have enough, as I have so much. You see, it's like this. When people don't have anything, and when they get something, they oftentimes don't keep what they have because they're not used to having anything. So they spend all that they have. Amen. Out of all the years they work, out of everything that God brings to the hand, when it comes to the end, they have nothing to show for because they are not used to having anything. Amen. Then on the other hand, people or times we don't have anything. And then when we get something, instead of us spending it all, we end up hoarding it all and we spend nothing. There is a balance here. God is trying to show unto us, if you stay in fidelity and not infidelity, when you move from fidelity, from your faith, from your love unto God to infidelity, you're either trying to hold it all or you're trying to spend it all because there's something missing that you had, but all of a sudden it's gone. Jesus said, you have lost your first love. We can have much, but still, that scripture says, you end up bringing in little.
Amen.
Then there is those that have little. He says, you can bring in much. What am I saying? If there is a hindrance from giving, I believe somehow, some way, it's interwoven into the hindrance of dishonesty, the hindrance of carnality, and the hindrance of infidelity. We've left somehow our first love. We've shifted. I thank God for the Christian House of Prayer, that God challenges us, and when He challenges us, we're able to receive the kind of offering that we received this past Sunday without anyone being primed or knew anything about it. We made a sacrifice, $104,000, to give into the corporate cause. Why did we do that? Think with me for a moment. Why did we do that? Because we have a love for God, and our love hasn't moved. God challenged us. And if we had a struggle with that, well, I gave to the last thing. Well, see, it's because you have moved your love from God. God is going to constantly challenge us. The Holy Spirit is going to constantly quicken us so that we would have the kind of mindset to see, have I moved from my love from God? Paul says you can prove the sincerity of your love. Every now and then, Valerie has this thing that she'd come and say, Nate, do you love me? And what that does, that simply awakened me to the fact that I haven't been telling her how much I do. That awakens me to the fact that maybe I'm doing something that's causing there to be an inquiry about my love. I believe with all of my heart, even though God knows everything, He's omniscient, but I believe that God has a way of knocking on the door of our hearts saying, hey,
amen.
Have you moved your love? Is it infidelity? Do you have a problem with giving? It's a very thin and slim line. A very thin and slim line. When the Holy Ghost is challenging us, He's trying to show unto us, have we moved our fidelity to infidelity? This church, Macedonia, what did they do? Paul says, my, they didn't do what we thought they was going to do. They went beyond in their giving. Because first of all, they gave themselves. That caused them to have a sacrificial heart. They needed what we need, some helps and hints in knowing, where do I give, God? How do I give and to whom do I give? And then last, I need these hindrances removed. Am I dishonest? Am I dishonest in my giving? Am I filled with carnality, murmuring, complaining? Are there divisions? How about infidelity? Am I loyal and faithful unto my God when it comes to my giving? Father, I thank you in the mighty name of the Lord. That I trust to say even this evening.